This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
There are many words in the Bible that are difficult to comprehend sometimes. The word eternity happens to be one of those words. We don't read that word very often in the Bible, but what do you mean when you think about eternity? I don't know how to describe it, and there is not really a good illustration in the Bible about eternity. And I think had God given us an illustration, it would have been very difficult perhaps for us to comprehend that illustration. Sometimes people try to describe it. They say eternity is like a ring. It doesn't have a beginning or an end. Well, that's true. But what we want to talk about today is eternity with God. Eternity with God. And one day we will spend eternity somewhere. And I should think that all of us would want to spend eternity with God. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. We do appreciate those of you who are watching today, and I trust you'll continue to watch as we go into the last of our lessons on the 23rd Psalm, Eternity with God. If you missed some of the earlier lessons that were delivered on the 23rd Psalm, if you will request those, we can send you DVDs of those lessons. As a matter of fact, we can send you DVDs of any of the lessons that we have on this telecast. On Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course, and we offer this course so that you can get to know your Bible. I don't know of a greater thing we need in the secular world in which we live today than to know more about the Word of God. Do you? And I want us to study together. That way you and I can be studying together if you take this Bible course. Please call for the Bible course. Now what we're going to do is we're going to pause right now so that you'll learn more about the course, and then you'll learn more about how you can receive the course and how you can take the course.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Now, I'm going to read now from the 23rd Psalm, beginning in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to try to picture what it must have been like for David to write this psalm. His life was plagued with trouble. First of all, Saul tried to take the life of David. on many occasions. And David fled from Saul because life was endangered. Then there was opposition of the Philistines. And then he had trouble within his own family. His son Absalom rebelled against his own father and caused David's heart to break when Absalom died. And then there was his sin with Bathsheba. She was another man's wife. And so David had a lot going on in his life. But having the Lord as one shepherd is a lifetime experience and not done occasionally. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then he says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David had so much going for him. You see, the shepherd is above us. He is beneath us. He is behind us. He is before us. I want you to try to get a picture of the modern shepherd. The shepherd is out front leading the sheep. Many years ago, I had the experience of going to the Bible lands. And in some of the areas where we went on our tour, we would see sheep and with a shepherd. And the shepherd was out front leading the sheep. And the sheep are behind following the shepherd. And then there are the sheepdogs that are trailing behind the sheep. And the purpose of those dogs was to round up the stragglers that would fall by the wayside. And they would round them up, get them back into the rest where the other sheep were. Now I want you to notice again what David says in Psalms 23. As we follow the good shepherd, we have something falling behind us as well. I want you to notice in verse 6 where he says, "Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." You see, when you follow the shepherd, we are followed, number one, by goodness. We're followed by goodness. I think most of us can think about some troubles and problems that come our way in our sojourn on earth. All of us could make a list of those things. There's some of you right now that are watching the telecast that could, if you were to write down all the problems you've had, maybe the surgeries you had, maybe you had a heart attack, maybe you have cancer, the other problems, if you have family problems, financial problems. All of us have trouble and problems in life. Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward, so Job chapter 5 and verse 7. But just like there are problems in our life, trouble in our life, there are a lot of good things that come into our lives. It's not all bad. And as we follow the good shepherd, we're followed by goodness. Goodness follows us. Listen to James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. You know, sometimes when something bad happens, we tend to blame that on God. I have had people ask me, "Why did God let this happen? Why did God let it happen? Why did God let my son die? Why did God let my mother die? Why did God let me get, why did he allow me to get cancer? Why did he allow me to have this heart attack that's almost taken my life away from me? Why did God allow that to happen?" So people have a tendency to blame God and thank him for nothing. But I've often thought, and I still believe, that Satan needs to receive credit for all of the bad and all of the evil in our lives, because the devil, Satan himself, is the instigator of it all. The God we serve, the shepherd we follow, is a good shepherd. There's a song that we sometimes sing in our services entitled, God is so good. And God is so good. And when you follow God and you follow Him, there are going to be good things happen in your life. God has a way of taking even the things in your life that are not good stuff and turn them out for good. That's what Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for what? For good. To them that love the Lord. To them that are the called according to His purpose. You see, good things happen in the lives of Christians. It may be that something bad happens to you right now. And it may take you the rest of your life to understand how that thing that was bad that happened in your life turned out in some fashion for good in your life as well, or in the lives of others. That happened to Joseph, did it not? Joseph was had a coat of many colors given to him by his fathers, and his brothers were jealous of Joseph. They envied him, according to Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. And his brothers conspired to get rid of him. They actually wanted to kill him, but one of the brothers said, let's don't kill him, let's just put him in a hole in the ground. We'll sell him off to the slave traders. And that's exactly what happened. They put Joseph in a hole in the ground, in a pit. Okay, do you think that when Joseph was sitting in that pit in the ground, that he sat there with his hands folded like this and said, you know, this is a terrible thing my brothers have done to me. But I know that someday all of this is going to turn out for good. I don't think he thought that for a moment. He likely thought, this is the worst things that ever happened to me. My brothers trying to kill me, and now they're going to sell me as a slave. But eventually Joseph found himself in the house of Potiphar. And he was second in command in Egypt. And Joseph, because of the position he had, prepared for a famine. And there, that famine reached even into the land where his father and brothers and their families lived. And his father, Jacob, sent his brothers in quest of food in Egypt. And they appeared before Joseph, and they did not recognize him. And they made their request, and Joseph eventually revealed himself to his brothers. You read this story in the 50th chapter of Genesis. And Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers, and no doubt they were scared to death, thinking Joseph is going to avenge himself now of the evil that we've done to him. They thought Joseph was deceased. And then when he told them who he was, he told them not to be afraid. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You see, there was something good that came out of the bad that happened in the life of Joseph. And we can know that God's providential care follows us all the days of our life. Well, here's something else that follows us, and that's God's mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. What's mercy? Well, that's God not giving us what we deserve. That reminds me of the man caught stealing a horse, and he begged for mercy. Well, he was told that justice would be done. The man said, I don't need justice. I need mercy. And God is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2, verse 4, and we're saved by mercy, Titus 3, 5. And blessed are the merciful, they will obtain mercy. But on the flip side of that, He will be judged without mercy who has shown no mercy, James 2 and verse 13. Now, many years ago, I was in attendance at the Freed Hardeman Lectureship in Henderson, Tennessee, and the late Hardeman Nichols was speaking. He told a story that I have related to others many, many times. He told about a man, and of course, this was just some kind of a story that was made up, that a man that appeared at the judgment. And he asked what it would take for him to get into heaven. Said, you'll have to have 100 points. He said, well, I attended all the services of the church. I gave my life to Christ when I was young, and I tried to live for him all the days of my life. I read the Bible every day. I prayed every day. I talked to other people about Jesus. I tried to be a good citizen, good in the family. He said, how many points is all of that worth? And he was told that'd be worth 1 point. And the man said, well, then I'll have to throw myself on the mercy of the court. And Hardeman said the man was told then that's worth 99 points. See, all of us need God's mercy. And Jeremiah in the book of Lamentation tells us that God's mercy are following us daily. His mercies are new every morning. You know, men often ask, as they survey the fragile condition of our world, what does the future hold? We may not know the outcome of world conditions, but here's one thing we do know. That when you follow the shepherd and the bishop of our souls, our future is in his hands. It is said of God in Isaiah 57 and verse 15 that he inhabits eternity. He who dwells in eternity holds the future in his hands. And David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David seems to be looking beyond the present, gazing into the future. Over in the 27th Psalm in verse 4, listen to David. One thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing. What is that one thing, David? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. There are a lot of different ways the word house is used in the Bible. But in the context, it means where God is, God's dwelling place. We should all desire to be in God's house. Sometimes it had reference in the Old Testament, sometimes to the tabernacle or later to the temple. Sometimes the word house refers to a person's family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My family and I are going to serve God. That's the way Joshua used it. Sometimes the word house is used to refer to the church, as Paul used it in 1 Timothy 3:15. Whatever, how David wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord. And you and I ought to want to be in the house of the Lord forever. David said in Psalms 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. God no longer is dwelling in a building. He doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands, according to Acts 17:24. And today, the church is God's house or dwelling place. I call your attention to the passage previously mentioned, 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And we are God's house. That is, the church is. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. And ultimately, God's house for Christians will be heaven above. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Listen to him now. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. David said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you live a faithful Christian life, you give your life to Christ through obedience to the gospel of Christ, and you live faithfully following the shepherd to the end of life, you're going to spend eternity with God. And it almost seems unnecessary to say forever, because eternity is forever and ever. All humanity is eternity bound. The 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes is one of the great chapters of the Bible. And in that chapter, Solomon said, man goes to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Man is going to his long, his eternal home, the home of the soul. I don't really comprehend the word eternity. And I believe that all of our efforts to describe eternity are futile. An individual might as well look for the cradle and the tomb of God as to search for the beginning or the end of eternity. Some say eternity is like a ring with no beginning or end. You know, if a person should board a spaceship that travels at the speed of light, and if you could travel billions and billions of light years in that ship that's traveling at the speed of light, you'd never reach the end of eternity. It's just duration without limits. When we get on the other side of life's great divide, you'll not be calculating time in seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, years, millenniums, centuries, and the like, because eternity will be our abode. Now, if God is your shepherd, if He is, if you have yielded to His leadership, if you have obeyed His gospel, if you love Him for all He does for you and all He has done for you, your future is brighter than the sun of the heavens. But the question remains, have you obeyed Him? In that same chapter from Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon wrote in the last two verses that fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You see, God is in control. And if we follow the shepherd, as David wrote about in the 23rd Psalm, and if we obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has the power to save our souls, Romans 1:16, this gospel that consists of facts about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. And if we obey that gospel and a likeness of that gospel by dying to sin through repentance, we die to the love, the law, and the practice of sin in our lives, and we take that man who has died to sin and we bury that person in a grave, in a watery grave, but he's not made alive until he is immersed into Jesus Christ, into the benefits of the death of Christ, and he arises to walk in the newness of life. And you follow the shepherd. From that day forth, you can say with David, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But have you obeyed the gospel? Have you obeyed Jesus? Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. What future is there when one rejects or refuses God as their shepherd? God sent his lamb to die in your place. And the entire human family needs a leadership that only the Lord, our shepherd, can provide. We're doing a miserable mess of trying to lead ourselves. We need the shepherd. David called him my shepherd. Is he yours? Is he your shepherd? You cannot ignore him forever. I know many people reject that shepherd. They reject God. They reject Jesus. They reject the Bible. They reject the church. They reject any mention of salvation or heaven or hell. But the fact is, there's a day coming when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. No, you're not going to know him forever. He is the one with whom we have to do, Hebrews 4, verse 13. He is the one to whom we'll give an answer one day, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 1. I want to plead with you with all the love I have in my heart for you to follow the shepherd. Please let us know if we can help you. You may be dealing with some things right now that you need to talk to someone about. You need some counsel. Get in touch with us either by email, text, or phone. We'll do everything we can to help you. If you'd like to become a Christian, give your life to Christ, also let us know. And we want to urge you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. May I urge you right now to pick up the telephone right now. Don't wait till tomorrow because you may forget about it. Do it right now and call for the free Bible correspondence course. All you have to do is leave your name and address, and we'll get it off to you just as soon as we possibly can. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.